We're not going to read all the verses here today, but it's amazing that Psalms 127 actually is some of the most, I thought it was kind of unique because the latter part of Psalms 127 is actually used for baby dedications, but we did have a baby dedication this morning. I do appreciate once again the Gates family and them being here and also the grandparents as well, George and Brenda. Thank you for being here today, but glad you're here as well. But Psalms 127, I'm only going to read two verses to you today. And I just feel this will kind of be a blessing to you, kind of just strengthen you some from the book of Psalms 127 here today. This is what it says. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." And all for the sake that we had a dedication. Let's read the last three verses there. "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gate." I often tell this story every time I think of it. We had some friends in Kentucky that couldn't have children for several years. And a lady prophesied to them one service and said, "Your quiver will be full." And needless to say, they got five kids now. And last time I talked to Jake, he said, "Look," he said, "I hope my quiver ain't too big because I can't take no more of these children." Amen. But I've always think of those verses. And basically, these verses that we're talking about today, we're going to discuss the sovereignty of the Lord in a lot of areas in our life. Even in children. How many knows that children are a gift and a heritage from the Lord? I thank God for children. I do thank God for you. But we look at these verses here today, and I want to talk to you, and the title of this is a little different, but I'm going to talk to you on without the Lord, comma, frustration. And I will describe why I've titled this that in a moment. Without the Lord, and I would put a comma there, frustration. That is a Latin motto. A lot of times, you may have never heard of that, and I will by no means try to give you the Latin phrase. If you know anything about Latin, it is very unique. I'm not going to try to pronounce it to you in Latin, but it comes, these first words here in the Psalms, it means, this Latin phrase here, it means without the Lord, frustration. Now, the unique thing about that Latin phrase there that I did not try to pronounce to you, it is the motto of a city in Edinburgh in Scotland. It's actually written across, when you enter into the city, it is a phrase that is written across the top of the gate there of the city, and it says these words, "Without the Lord, frustration." How many knows it is frustrating when the Lord is not in it? It really is. As a matter of fact, there in Edinburgh, there in Scotland, it's across the top of the state document there. It even says these words, "Without the Lord, frustration." Now, what I want you to notice today in Psalms 127, Psalms 127 is a part of a group of psalms. It starts, if you'll notice in your Bible study, it starts in chapter 120 there, and it goes to chapter 134. These are called songs of ascent, or as it's written probably in your Bible, in the King James Version Bible, it probably says songs of degrees. And what the songs of ascent were, or the songs of degrees were, is as they were going up to the temple of the Lord, they were often singing these different songs. Now, once again, you find a great resource here in Psalms 120 through Psalms 134. You find all of these different psalms that are titled the very same thing. They are psalms of ascent. They are a group of hymns they would sing as they're going up unto the temple. Now, we also understand another unique fact about this psalm, because it is written by Solomon. There are very few of the psalms that are attributed to Solomon in the Bible, but these are one of them. It is a song of degrees, number one, and it is a song of Solomon as well, not referring to the book, but it is one of his songs that he has written. So we look at this today. And this is what we must understand. It is amazing to think that Solomon wrote these words and how he abandoned these words himself later on in his life. But we look at these words today and understand this, that this depicts to us the sovereignty of God in our everyday life. How many knows that our everyday life kind of becomes mundane, ritual? Many of us probably have a set time we get up in the morning, a set time that maybe we eat breakfast, maybe a set time. Maybe you eat the same thing every morning. I don't know. Some folks love Cheerios. Some love Cocoa Puffs or Cap'n Crunch. I don't care what you eat. I like them all. Amen. But some of us have a set order in our life. We do things a certain way. But a lot of times when we do things a certain way, some of us can tell you right now where we're going to be Monday afternoon, what we're going to do on Tuesday, what we're going to do on Wednesday. And I hope you come to church. Amen. But where we're eating out, what we're doing, our routine, and I really ain't like that myself. I'm so scattered, I confuse myself. It's a shame. But what I'm saying is this. Some of us are very routine people. And a lot of times in our routineness, we overlook the sovereignty of God in our everyday life. How He's in control, what He is doing, how He is working, how He allows us to do certain things. So that's what we witness here in Psalms 127. Notice verse 1 with me today. As I read there in verse 1, just a portion of the verse. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I want to say that again. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, interesting right here, in the English vernacular, when we say, lest the Lord build the house, we're thinking, well, a wooden structure, you know, an A-frame, shingles, and a building. But understand, to be true to the Hebrew text here, we look at this word house there, and the word house in the Hebrew text goes a lot further than just a physical residence. Matter of fact, it has a threefold purpose in the original language. Number one, yes, it does mean a physical house. But number two, it also refers to the house of the Lord. But number three, it also refers to a family and to a dynasty. It refers to us having a family, having children, and having relatives within our life. So we look at this today, and this is what it says. Except the Lord build our homes, unless He build our jobs, unless He build our church, unless He build our families, whatever context we can tie to that word, unless God does it, it is in vain. Unless God does it, it is meaningless, it is purposeless, it matters not if it's a company or a church or a physical residence. We have to keep God in the mix. Now, have you ever met somebody before that just kind of has this ingrained in them theology that if you work hard enough, it'll just all work out? And anything that goes wrong in life, they would tell you, well, you did it wrong. You should have worked harder. You should have put more effort. You should have put more intention into it. And there are people that are like workaholics, so to speak. And there's nothing really against that except this. You cannot work your way into success. God has to bless you. God has to be a part of it. Now, you may say, well, Brother Derek, I know of sinners that are millionaires. That does not mean they are successful. That does not mean that they are prosperous. Yes, they may have monetary money. They may have gains. They may have finances. But just because they have money and facilities and structures, that does not mean you're successful in the eyes of God. Yes, you may appear successful in the eyes of humanity. But in the eyes of God, unless God is in it, it is all in vain and it is all meaningless. No amount of human sacrifice or toil can accomplish much unless God's blessing is upon His people. That is the major message of this psalm. I would ask you today, how much of your focus is on God in your everyday life? On your job, do you glorify God with what you have? In your family, do you glorify God? With your relatives, do you glorify God? Here at this church, do you glorify God? Because if God is not in the mix, guess what? It is all in vain. Except the Lord build it. You labor in vain. If God isn't involved, it will not last. You ever notice something about man's creation? Somebody could take 40 years to build something, and it only takes a few hours to tear it down. How long did it take to build the World Trade Center? We don't know. I couldn't give you an exact date, but how many believes it probably took a few years? A lot of money? Millions of dollars? potentially billions of dollars, a lot of money, a lot of years. But do you see how quick it came down? What I'm saying is, and no doubt that's a tragic event in the American history, and people that were talking, what a tragedy is. And we should still remember that every 9/11. But what I'm trying to tell you is, things can crumble in just an instance. Things can go south in just an instance. We're not just talking about structures, but how many knows your Christian testimony is fragile? Imagine somebody serving God for 40 years, get caught in one major mistake. You hear what I'm saying? Imagine, I've often cringed to think of this. I have been serving the Lord 10 years now. I know for some of you that are older, you look at that and say, man, that's not that long and he's a puppy. But I will tell you this, and all glory to God, I've covered a lot of ground in 10 years. God has, for some reason, has just worked quick in my life. And sometimes the way God has worked in my life has even astonished me, where I was shocked. You know, I get saved and called to preach in a month. I wasn't ready for all that. I didn't ask for all that. What I'm saying is, I realize in 10 years, the influence and the friendships and the ministry, and I know it's nothing in comparison to others. I feel like a piece of dust or a speck of dust in this world. I'll tell you this, though. I realize that years of learning and growing and preaching and making friendships and going here and going there and trying my best to do the will of God, and God will help and elevate and bless and prosper, I look at that and realize that could be ruined in just a few seconds. What I'm saying is, what if all of a sudden, and God be it far from us, and this is just a far exaggeration, imagine you got a phone call tomorrow and say, we caught Brother Derek in a major sin. He has been exposed. Would that not affect you in some way? I know it would my home. What I'm saying is, I realize this. Anything that I have is because of God. And anything that I will maintain is because of God. And anything that I will ever have in my life is because of God. I don't feel like I've built a ministry. And Lord knows I'm not doing anything in comparison to others. I don't feel like I've came here on my own will or own agenda. No, this is God's doing. And I realize, unless God builds this church, unless God helps my home, unless God helps my relationships, unless God helps your job and helps your family, it will not prosper. He has to be in the mix every single day. It doesn't matter how many engineers or builders are involved or what you have invested. Guess what? If God's not in it, it will not fully prosper in the eyes of God Almighty. John 15:5 says, without me, and I'm just part of that verse, without me you can do nothing. It would do you good to write that down in your hearts and say, God, without you, I can do nothing. Notice what it says here. They labor in vain. That word in vain there means it is meaningless. So yes, if we leave God out of the picture, everything is in vain. Buildings are useless unless God builds it. Precautions are useless unless the Lord watches over the city. Unless the Lord blesses our work. Unless the Lord blesses our family. Our labors are in vain. They are not in vain when God's in it, but if God's not in it, your labors are in vain. I often look at my family, and we don't know what tomorrow holds. How many knows that? I've often thought about, you know, what if one of us did get a diagnosis? What if I got in a car wreck? What if Holly got in a car wreck? What if one of my children are injured? You could worry yourself to death trying to think about all that. You could drive yourself down in the depths of sorrow trying to think about all that. But I will say this, if God's in it, nothing is in vain. I can make it if God is in it. A great example of this is in Genesis 11, and you do not have to turn there, but you'll notice there that they're building the Tower of Babel, and there we realize that the building of the Tower of Babel was 100% in vain. It was meaningless. They actually thought, in one, as you read commentaries about it, that they were building a platform up into the heavens to get closer to God, a platform unto God. But notice this, that is not mentioned. We know the story of Babel was a ended up being cursed. It was not blessed. But at the end of chapter 11, this is what it says. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram. What you see there is this. You see the Tower of Babel where God was not in it. But then you see a man has a son by the name of Abram. And look how Abram is used of God to change the world. What is the great difference? I mean, the Tower of Babel had manpower, it had finances, it had structure. Terah had Abram, and that's all you got. But he has God in it. And when God is in it, it will prosper. So we look there at God's sovereignty over our labors. And look here, friends, let me tell you this. The political mess of this world will drive you crazy. I met people before, even in the church world. They tell me, Brother Derek, I would join this conference. If I was you, I would get to where I could preach this meeting. I even had one guy tell me, he said, 3 points and an illustration, you got it. I don't feel that way. Man, I'm up here beating my head trying to get up here with the mind of God sometimes. Not that God withhold things, but I'll tell you this, I want to have the will of God. I want to help the church. And you guess what? Everything ain't always the easiest to preach. I've heard him say, "Want you to, this movement over here needs some young preachers." I had a guy tell me one time, got 400 preachers in this conference. You ought to join up in here. We can get you going with any circles. I prayed about it. Didn't feel content in my spirit. Why is that? Because unless God builds it, I don't want no part in it. One time somebody invited me. He said, "Well, if your wife, you know, your wife can sing. Why don't you go here and let her sing for this group of people? If you can get in there, they can get you in this meeting." I thought to myself, the day I drive 6 hours to let a man hear my wife sing will be the day that you know something's wrong with me. I mean, it wasn't like an invitation. Come sing and worship with us. No, come let her sing and maybe you can testify. Get in good with these guys. They'll really help you out, man. No, sir. Unless the Lord builds the house, I would labor in vain. Unless the Lord does it, we'll labor in vain. So that's God's sovereignty in our labors. But this probably really will resonate with you. What about God's sovereignty in our security? Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. In that time, strong walls around the city, alert watchmen on the walls were considered to be the key to security in the ancient days. Trust in military might was essential for many nations, but not for Israel. Except they trust the Lord, it was all in vain. Here recently, in the very safe and wonderful city of Hampton, you notice if you leave your car unlocked, people will go through them. I don't know if that ever happened. I don't know if it happens in the New Jerusalem or not in New York County. And just joking. But here recently, there's been some hoodlums going through the community. And they're going through and checking door handles. Not, you know, they're not breaking into cars, you know. So, you call the law and they tell you, lock your doors. And ask Kayla and Shane about it. It's happened to them a few times since they've been here. What I'm saying is they go through there and guess what? You know what that brings a little sense of fear to your home? I'll be honest with you. I went out one day to my older vehicle, it's a 4Runner. I walked out there and got in there. I said, what in the world? Papers and ain't nothing in there. I think there were some ants in there they could have had if they wanted them. I don't know how they got in there, but they were in there. I mean, paper strewn everywhere. And you know what? As soon as you do that, ain't like you get in there and say, man, this is just wonderful. Man, I feel wonderfully safe right now. This is great. Another thing, I said, man, there's a hoodlum that's walking through this community. I hope they don't try to get in my house. You see what I'm saying? I hope they don't try to get in my house. And all of a sudden, if you ain't careful, you start thanking yourself because all of a sudden you hear some more news. Oh, we got a little Facebook page there in the community. Keeps everybody updated. Somebody went through another car. It's happened like 10 times. And so now we got community watches, people trying to go out, search the community, and just keep an eye open. What I'm trying to say is this, guess what? I prayed about it. One woman said, I'm so fearful, I've got to move right now. I thought to myself, because somebody went through your car, you've got to move. No, because God is my security. Now, I ain't against having security systems. And they make noises. And this one out here is real loud. They set it off one day, and I'll tell you, I thought the rapture took place. And my spirit and body had to catch back up with each other. It was a moment. It took a few moments to get my head straight. So there's nothing wrong with taking precaution. But hear me. Let me say it this way. Let us beware that we are not ignorant of this truth. If you put more emphasis and hope in a gun in your dresser drawer or increased police presence or a strong military or nuclear weapons, we should not ever be dependent solely on these things because except the Lord protect us and take care of us and keep us, everything is in vain. Right now, we are living in a time of just upheaval and it's just chaos. And I know we as Americans, you know, I am a patriotic. We are blessed. I've been on mission trips. I've been around other people. We are a blessed people. But we are not an invincible people. Sometimes people think America is invincible. We are not. Matter of fact, we are imploding from the inside. Trillions of dollars in debt. We are. I encourage you. I hope it don't discourage you when I encourage you here, but go read about how much $20 trillion really is. Go read about it. And you'll sit there and scratch your head and you'll start wondering, man, are we ever going to get out of this? One writer, Joel Rosenberg, said this: if we paid back $10 billion a day in our national debt, it would take like 250-something years even to balance out the debt. That was back when it was $16 trillion. Imagine now, $20 trillion. We are going backwards and under. And guess what? It's just reality. Something's got to reset or happen somewhere. I don't know how that's going to balance out. I hope it's to our good. And what about all the criminals and murder and rape and terrorists? And you hear things there like in Las Vegas and the shootings and these fearful things. It makes you fearful. It makes you wonder about what's going on with all of this unrest. But guess what? The psalmist has it right. Except the Lord keep the city. Except the Lord keep your home. Whatever you do, the watchman waketh in vain. We need God to be secure. We need God to be secure. The psalm might well be read, one writer said, and every legislature, every parliament, every strategy planning meeting in the Western world, the very clauses in the Constitution intended to keep church and state in balance and accord are now being used against the church. The Bible is banned from classrooms, and the soul-destroying humanism and evolutionary philosophy are being entrenched. That God as creator is denied a hearing in our schools. The higher halls of learning are frequently at the hands of humanists. The vile sins of Sodom are allowed to parade themselves, drunkenness, dishonesty, all of these different things, and we sit here and think that we can secure ourselves with weaponry or military. No, sir, we need God to be secure. We need God to be secure. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. You know what the watchman was? That man that stood up on the wall. And when he seen any chaos or any threats, he would announce unto the other military people to arm themselves, to arise and to awaken the city and to protect themselves. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to discourage you today, but I do want to encourage you that God's hand, God's sovereignty is the very key to our security in life. But notice what it goes on to say, and this is another point that should resonate with you. Let's look at God's sovereignty in everyday life. It says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. So verse 1 warns against overconfidence, but verse 2 warns against overwork and anxious toil. Listen to the words again. It says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Now let me precaution you right here. This is not saying that you shouldn't get up early. You'd be surprised how many people read that verse and say, well, there it is right there. God says we always get to sleep in. It's vain to get up early. It'd be all right, wouldn't it, if God wanted that? But, you'll have enough rest there in the eternal future. Notice here, many of us at times can become anxious about many things. We worry a lot, and Solomon points out three things about this worrying that we must be aware of. You ever notice the increase in people that need medicine just to go to sleep? And I'm not talking about when there's physical conditions. I understand there's some conditions sometimes. Somebody has a condition. I'm talking about they got kids on medicine to go to sleep. And I'm not, once again, not physical conditions. But just because they don't have any peace of mind. They're anxious. They're stressed. They're worried. And so they have to go to a doctor. And then their doctor has to try to prescribe them peace through a bottle of medicine. I will tell you this today. There is no peace that is real and lasting peace. Real and lasting shalom. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the ultimate peace. Notice how exacting this is. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late. Once again, that does not mean that we just get to be lazy. This does not help matters at times if you just think you can lay around and do nothing. But we look at this. We gather that Solomon here was in warning us that it is vain about getting up early and going to bed late, trying to make things work out to your favor. You ever met people that just go all the time trying to make everything work out? I mean, they feel like they can hold the world together. I read this in a book years ago and thought it was interesting. Max Lucado, I don't agree with his doctrinal perspectives, but he's a great illustrator. He said one day he was riding in an airplane, and this is completely illustrative. He was in that airplane, he said he noticed there was a little fly flying around. And he said he talked to that fly, once again, illustrative here. He said, "Little fly, what are you doing? Won't you take it easy, man?" That little fly said, "Take it easy. I'm keeping this plane up here in the air. If I stop flapping my wings, we're going down, Buster." That's what he said. And so Max Lucado said, no, little fly, listen. Up there in that cockpit, there's a pilot. He's trained. He's been doing this for many years. You know, everything's okay. There's an engine. You look out the window. You see them wings over there? Man, they're keeping us up. You see those engines? Man, they're strong engines. And he said, "Little fly, I don't want to discourage you, but I want to tell you, you ain't doing anything to help yourself. You're just wearing yourself out." Little fly said, "You've lost your mind." He watched that fly flying around until he exhausted himself. And finally, the fly landed down there by the seat beside him and said, I can't go anymore. And Max Lucado said, "That's exactly where you need to be. Let the pilot take control." You ever met people in life that felt like they were keeping the world moving? And it's almost as if they were to take it easy, the earth would fall off its axis, Armageddon would happen, Satan would win, and God would fall off the throne, all because they quit doing what they needed to do at that moment. And they feel like if apart from them, this world would not make it. Let me just bust your bubble, all right? You're not that important. You're not. No, yes, you know, Brother Derek, you just hurt my self-esteem. Joel Osteen would be very mad at you right now. You're not all that. You're a human. You're made from dust. You cry. You bleed. You get sick. You need Mucinex every now and then like the rest of us. You probably got Tylenol in your cabinet or ibuprofen. You get headaches. Guess what? You get hungry. And sometimes you eat too. You're human. What I'm saying is, I'm not trying to say anything like you need to go sin or anything. I'm telling you this, but God has this under control, not you. Not you. God is in control. And if God's not in control in your life, you of all men are most miserable and weary and discouraged and tired and anxious if you do not give it to God. We look at this. Notice this. How excruciating the thing is. It is vain to eat the bread of sorrows. A person in the grip of anxiety and worry is a person in torment. Worry has a way of preying on the mind and driving the victim to distraction. So living a miserable life of labors, fretting and doing this and doing that, envying the advancement of others, afflicted over much losses and wrongs, there is no end to all the labors of a man or woman who will not rest and put their confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is excruciating to live that kind of life. Now, once again, do we need to be reminded of that? Yes, we do. Because there's every now and then that Brother Derek feels like if he doesn't do this or do that, then the world's going to fall off his axis. It's not true. I found out that every time I finally give up in an anxious experience or a battle, every time I just give it to the Lord, I realize that his arms are a lot bigger than my arms. And his heart's a lot bigger than my heart. And his mind is a lot bigger than my mind. He is bigger than I am. Notice it goes on to say this, "For so he giveth his beloved sleep." I had the statistics I read in a book one time. I didn't bring them up here with me. I have them in notes somewhere. Of the statistics of how many people cannot sleep in America. And we're not talking because they had a cup of coffee before they went to bed. We're not talking about that. We're not talking because they drank too much Mountain Dew before they went to bed. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about because in their mind they are tormented. So the solution is in the Lord. All worry, all it does is wear us out until our nerves are frayed and our tempers are short and our health gives way. Our worry is in vain when we have worried ourselves sick. Quit worrying so much. Quit doing it. If you're one of those who you allow life to overwhelm you and circumstances in your family to overwhelm you and your mind is scattered and torn and you worry and worry and worry, why do you keep on worrying? Sit down, little fly. The plane's going to keep on going when you rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Realize that. God is in control. If we're not careful in Pentecost, we've done, and I'm not saying we've ever done that here, but if we're not careful, we so diminish the sovereignty of God, we feel like we're holding everything together. I'm going to be honest, I'm not even holding myself together right now. God's holding me together. And if you say, well, no, I'm holding myself together, you wait till the going gets tough. You'll realize there's something holding you tighter. The grip of grace is so strong. It's so wonderful. I was reading about this and this little thought right here about sleep and about peace, how they're tied together, and how amazing is this truth. The God that secures my home, the God that secures my security, is also the God that helps me go to sleep at night. Think about this God that I'm talking about, Jehovah. Think about, He cares about my family. Isn't that good? He cares about this church. He cares about our security as a nation, as a world, as a city, and as a home. But that same God that cares about even the very sparrows and has the hair of everybody's head numbered, He cares enough to give me rest and to help me sleep. That's the best medicine you could ever have, is a good dose of the Holy Ghost. He helps so much. He helps so much. Listen to Psalms 3 and 4, it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard of me out of His holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. Notice the psalmist there said this, I cried unto the Lord. I laid down and I slept. It is a carefree life. It's having confidence in Him. Notice Psalms 4 and 8. I would both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. When Thou liest down, in Proverbs 3 and 24, when Thou liest down, Thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, Thou shalt lie down, and Thy sleep shall be sweet. You ever heard of the phrase, is it sola scriptura? Scriptura, it means Scripture only. It's a word we use in theology. You know what that word means? If it's in the Bible, you can believe it. And it's right. Okay? So I know a doctor wouldn't tell you this. I know that. I know a psychiatrist that laid you down on the bed would not tell you this. But if you're an anxious and worried person, if you're somebody that has trouble sleep that's not tied to Mountain Dew or coffee, or eating something where you got heartburn, you know what I'm talking about. But if you can't sleep because of your mind and worry and fret. You said, Brother Derek, give me advice. I cried unto the Lord. He heard me. I laid me down. I slept. I awake, and the Lord has sustained me. My, I felt the Holy Ghost saying that to you. I cried unto the Lord. He heard me. I laid down in peace. In tranquility, I slept, I awoke, and the Lord, He preserved, He sustained, He kept me. Brother Derek, what's the answer? The answer is God. You say, that's old school. It's right. The Bible says it, and I believe it. The amount of anxiety and discouragement within the church should not be. It's off the charts. Barna Group, look at the websites that do statistics within the church. The church is in one of the worst spiritual states it's ever been. Not only because of sin, but because of worry and fretting and discouragement and all these things. Guess why that is? Because we've gotten away from the fact. We try to philosophize it some. We try to medicate it. No, sir. Go to the book. Go to the God of heaven and watch what He'll do in a life that is committed and a person that is just completely surrendered unto Him. Watch what He will do. You said, Brother Derek, how do you know? Because I am an example of that. Because as I've already testified to you, 10 years ago I was a tormented young man. Today, my wife even picks on me. How can you go to sleep so quick? She envies it. I'll lay right there. I'll talk to you. I'll look around. The next thing you know, I'm looking up. I say, how did I get that? What happened there? You ever feel like your head just gets real heavy and you just go down and you kind of wake up and you're looking around like somebody's done something to you? Sleep. Rest. Tranquility. I close with this as my wife comes to the piano. Psalms 121 and 4 says this. Behold, he that keepeth Israel, listen to this, shall neither slumber nor sleep. You hear that? Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Let me share this small illustration with you and I'll let you go. Bishop William Alfred Quayle was a leader in the Methodist Church years ago who shared about a night that he worked into the early morning hours trying to finish an upcoming project for the church. At a moment of intense pressure, when he felt so tired and overwhelmed, his eyes fell on Psalms 121 and verse 4 of the promise of the Lord there. And this is what Quayle says about those verses. He calls it the 24-hour vigil. Vigil means watch, being awake. He said, I was reminded then of the Lord's 24-hour, 7-day-a-week vigil over the believers. He watches us. This reminded him of how defeating and exhausting were his efforts to work for God rather than allowing God to work through him. He was worried because he's trying to work for God. He needed God to work through him. But this is what Quayle says, and please do listen. The Lord spoke to him, and this is what God said. He said, Quayle, there's no need in both of us being awake. He said, matter of fact, I'm going to be awake anyhow. Why don't you just go to sleep? And Quayle penned these words. He went to bed that night, and he gave it all to the Lord because the Lord reminded him, ain't no need in both of us being awake, Will. I'm going to be awake anyhow. Why don't you just go on to sleep? Now, I realize, look, that don't mean you have to fall asleep fast or not. I know we get older. You ever ache in your body when you're trying to sleep? Get a cramp in your leg? I'm not talking about physical sleep so much, Clarence. It may be tied to it a little bit. But I do believe that a lot of times in our churches, in our society, how much our mind and our health is tied to our spiritual condition sometimes is pretty big. That if we would let God give us peace of heart and peace of mind, and we rested in this, that God is sovereign over my labors. Unless God builds the house, it's in vain, correct? Unless God does it, it's in vain. Unless God keeps the city, keeps my home, secures me, it's all in vain. Somebody asked me one time, Brother Derek, you better build you up an arsenal right now. I said, for what? Because of Armageddon. I said, I ain't planning on being here, friend. I'm going to go on that rapture. I don't know about you, but I ain't going to need 40 machine guns when Armageddon gets here, because I'm going to come back on a white horse, and one's leading is going to be true and faithful, and he's going to speak the word and destroy the enemy. I don't need an arsenal. I'm not telling you to abandon all common sense of trying to have some basic safeguards in life, but don't put your full confidence in those things. We are not anarchists. We are believers. We put our faith in God Almighty. If something does happen, whether they ransack our homes and throw us in prison, guess what? Unless God keeps the city, I can have peace and sleep like Jesus in a boat in a storm or like Peter in prison. God can give you peace that passes all understanding. Stand to your feet this evening. Amen. As the rest of that chapter goes, it talks about children, God protecting us, God moving in our families. But I felt today, a simple thought. I know we're maybe a little tired in body, a little bit. I've been talking to you only about 30, 40 minutes here. It hadn't been that long. But I would encourage you today, I would ask you these questions. Where is your faith? Do you believe God is in control today? Do you believe He's in control? I look around, I see hidden eyes. I believe that, I do. But maybe you're here today and there's just something about in your heart and mind. It could be a problem. It could be a family member. could be a sickness. It could be your own life. And you need that peace. You need that assurance that God has it under control. I want you to leave here today with that peace of heart and peace of mind. God can do it for you. So what we're going to do today is, in closing, in this prayer, I'm going to pray. I want you to pray and ask God to help you. Oh God, I'm telling you, I've been counseling enough, and without mentioning any area, I know this goes on the internet, but I've counseled people before that are 14 years old, had to get so much medicine because they cannot have any peace of mind. That should not be. That should not be. The Bible says we have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I believe if some of these people would get full of the Holy Ghost, it would change everything. Matter of fact, can I go ahead and give you a statistic? I know it would change everything. If Christ is given preeminence and we let the Holy Ghost fill us up and work in our lives, it would change our lives. God can give you peace here today and help us. I'm going to pray. I want you to pray out of your heart. If that's you today, won't you pray and let God help you? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer today, God, we love you and we thank you. God, unless you build the house, we labor in vain. God, I feel today in my heart that some are laboring. Some are trying to keep everything afloat.